Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
That was awesome, Michelle. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what about this rain? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture that the Lord gave me. Well, before I start on that, because I'm excited, I have to give announcements. And one of the announcements is, and they've been posted up here, that daylight savings time is this weekend. So don't forget to turn your clocks back, but make sure that we get here on time. Hallelujah. Because Dennis and Peggy are going to have the coffee ready. You might need a little extra this time, but praise God, they always have an abundant supply. And so make sure that we do that. And the other thing is the Christmas boxes that people picked up, and I'm assuming that they're all gone because I didn't see any more out there, but those are due this Sunday. So they're going to be delivering those to wherever they take them. So praise God. Thank you all for your participation, because I don't know how many boxes we had. We had more this year than we have before, and it seemed like all the boxes are gone. So praise God. Hallelujah. We want to pray for Pastor Pam, too, who's going to have surgery tomorrow. But, you know, I feel led to pray for her at the end of the service, because the Bible tells us that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. And so when we pray for people and we're expecting miracles, signs and wonders and healings and deliverances, we're going to pray for them at the end unless the Lord tells us to do so otherwise, because we want people to get their hearts ready to receive. You know, one of the biggest parts of praying for people and ministering healing and deliverances is, are their hearts ready? Are they ready to receive what God has for them? Because, you know, the healing is already in us. We all know that. We know that we already are healed and we're delivered and we're set free, but we want that healing to manifest in our body. And one of the things that I've learned, and I am kind of a slow learner in some areas, but one of the things that I learned is taking our authority and commanding, declaring and decreeing and commanding. God says that he has given us the authority. Jesus said that. The authority was given to Jesus, but he gave it to us. And so we want to learn how, as a church, we can start really walking in that authority that God has given us, because that's where the power is. The power is in knowing who we are in Jesus Christ and taking that power and the authority and using it to glorify him. Because Jesus gets glorified when people get healed. Jesus gets glorified when people get delivered, because he paid the price already. So we came here to glorify him, right? Amen. Well, you know, Pastor Gary had given us an assignment last week, and the assignment was to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a scripture and take that scripture and meditate on it day and night, like Joshua says. Meditate on it day and night. And then muse on it or meditate on it during the day, and ask the Lord what he wants to show you out of the scripture. So the scripture that he gave me was from Luke 10:19. And just 10:18 says, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven." And when it started to rain, I thought, "Okay, Lord, I get it." Hallelujah. He beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. But this is the scripture that the Lord gave me to meditate on. Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I thought, well, Lord, I've heard that scripture before. I know that scripture. Why? I thought you were going to give me one that I needed to learn. And he said, no, I want you to know this. And so I looked at the scripture and I realized that twice in that same scripture it says, I've given you power. But one of them, as I looked it up, because I was doing my assignment, I was checking this scripture out, not just reading it. It said that in the Greek translation, the first power was supposed to be authority. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think of a touch not anointing, a touch not covenant that we have with God. He says, nothing will by any means harm you. We got to take that as a promise from God. No matter what comes against us, nothing will by any means harm me. Hallelujah. That's what he said. So anyway, I started thinking about this thing, power, and about authority. And I understand that God says that he has given the believer authority. And so I said, okay, I looked up the definition of authority, and it says delegated power. And one of the illustrations that they used in this was a policeman who's standing in rush hour traffic, and there's lots and lots of traffic, and he holds up a traffic sign that says stop, or blows a whistle or something, and people obey that. Now, they do it because he has the authority of the police department and the local government or whatever else, but that authority is very limited. If he goes outside that town, he can't do that. He doesn't have authority to do that. If he goes to another state, he can't do that. He doesn't have the authority. So his power is limited and it's temporary. But the power that we have is backed up by the power of God. Our power is only as good as what's backing it. If we have the power of God behind us, when we declare and decree something, when we pray for somebody, when we're believing for something, we know that the answer is yes and amen. We may not see it, but we know what the answer is already. And we have to just learn how to wait on that, to see the manifestation come, and not be weary in waiting. So that we get excited about that authority. Now, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power on earth and heaven have been given to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. But this is even better. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2:5-6. It says that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So that means, where are you seated? Where are you sitting? Where are you operating from? Are you operating from being seated in heavenly places with Jesus? Jesus is the head. The body, the believers, are the body. We're the body. So that means that we're seated with him too. We're seated with him above all the powers, all the principalities, all the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're seated above sickness. We're seated above disease. We're seated above depression. We're seated above lack and insufficiency. We're seated above that. So we have the authority that's been given to us by God to be able to speak to that and command it, say, you're under my feet, and laugh at it. You know, in intercessory prayer on Monday, I was thinking about how defeated Satan is, and I started laughing, and I started singing this song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 The devil's so defeated, I just laugh at him. Ha, 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 ha. The devil's so defeated, I just laugh at him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. That's what we do. We laugh at the devil. He tries to throw all kinds of wrenches in the work. Like Kathy said, the devil didn't want her to come tonight. He was giving all kinds of stuff going on. But that's when we know that we know we're supposed to be there. Because he doesn't want us to prosper. He doesn't want us to know who we are. He doesn't want us to take our authority. My daughter was saying something to me the other day. She said, you know, Mom, and of course she said, no offense, but, you know, you've always been so passive and easygoing. And she said, I think most of our lives, we've let things go. We've just ignored things because we didn't want any conflict, we didn't want any problems. And then one day the Lord said to me, if you don't start saying no, if you don't start taking authority, and if you don't start believing it and standing on it, the devil is never going to stop harassing you. He's got to know that you mean it. And it changed me. I realized that I didn't grow up like a fighter. I wasn't like an arguer or anything. But I realized that I had to learn how to fight. I had to learn how to fight in the spirit so that the natural world that I live in, I'll be able to I know how to defeat the enemy. And you know, when I first got saved, I was saved like about 2 weeks. A friend gave me a book, and it was by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. Now, if anybody knows that book, it's kind of a heavy-duty book. And it's really not. I did not understand any of it. And so I kind of put it on the shelf. And then one day I realized, I got to find that book. Because that's the truth. It's sit, walk, stand. When I started out my walk with the Lord, my walk was stand. Stand against the enemy. Fight against the enemy. Do this, do that. Declare and decree. Bind and loose. That's what I was doing. And I wanted to have that Christian walk. I wanted to walk with the Lord. I wanted to get to know him. But I realized that I wasn't sitting in the right position. I was doing it from my flesh. I was doing it in the natural realm. If I had been sitting in the heavenlies where I'm supposed to be seated, and I had gotten that part of it right, it would have made things a lot easier. Because if I'm seated in Christ Jesus and all this stuff is under me, it's a lot easier to say no to it. Tell him, oh no, no devil, you're not doing that. And so I think that that's one of the things that a lot of us don't realize. We know that, you know, we hear, and it's kind of a cliche that, you know, we have authority, we have, you know, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But the thing is that we're missing that part of it. Where are we? Are we doing this out of the arm of the flesh, or are we doing this because we know that God's told us to do it, and if he's told us to do it, he's backing us up. His authority is behind us. And we have confidence to know that when we do these things, that we're doing it in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is being glorified. Amen? You know, several years ago, my granddaughter was in the hospital in Chicago. And my husband and I were in the waiting room. She was having open heart surgery. She was only a senior in high school, but she had a hole in her heart. And so she was having heart surgery. And so we were sitting in the waiting room, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Go over and ask that man why he's here." I was like, "Oh, okay." But one thing I learned is that when God tells you to do that, he's about to move. And you have confidence to know that, hey, I'm seated with him. He told me to do it. All I am is a mouthpiece. So I went over and I started talking to him, and it turned out that he was a bodyguard for rap singers. He was a big man. And so I asked him why he was there, and he said that his son, who was 4 years old, that they had airlifted him from southern Illinois, and his son had some sort of a flesh-eating bacteria, and it was eating his legs, and it was traveling up his legs, and they thought they were going to have to amputate his legs. They had no idea how to handle this disease, so he was in a children's hospital. And so I said, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. And even though I'm here to be with my granddaughter, I said, I really believe the Lord has me here to pray for your son. And I said, I believe that Jesus is the healer. Do you believe that? And he said, yes, I do. He said, I grew up in the church when I was young, but he said, I've been away from it for a long time. And I said, well, I have confidence. I have confidence that when I pray for him, that God is going to heal his body. And so he said, okay. I said, so is that all right if I go pray? And he said, yes. But he said, you can't go in the room because he's in isolation. You have to stand at the door. Well, that's not a big deal for God. I didn't have to lay my hands physically on him. But I stood at the door and I cursed. In the name of Jesus, I took authority over that disease. I took authority over that bacteria. I took authority over all the infection in his body. And I just started speaking to it. And I commanded it to die in the name of Jesus. And I commanded the good, healthy cells to start reproducing and life to come back into his legs. So that was about it. Praise the Lord. And I did it in the name of Jesus. All the glory to God. So I went back, told him that I had prayed, and 2 days later, I called the hospital to see how he was doing. And they said, well, all we can tell you is that he's no longer with us. And I thought, what do you mean he's no longer with us? I said, what does that mean? And she said, it means he's no longer with us. And I said, well, does that mean that he died? And she said, I can't tell you that. All I can say is he's no longer with us. So I thought, oh, Lord. So I prayed. I had given him my phone number, but I didn't take his. So I said, Lord, please have him call me and let me know how his son is. 2 hours later, I get a phone call, and it's from his father. He said, I just wanted to tell you that after you prayed for him, he woke up from the coma. He was sitting up eating ice cream, watching cartoons on TV, and they sent him back down to my wife because they said that his body is healing itself. Hallelujah. And so his mother called me, and she was crying, and she said, I was praying that somebody would come and pray for him. And she was a believer, and she told me that she was so pleased that I had come up there and that I had prayed for him. And so the next day, I talked to my pastor, and I said, how about if you and I go down to Chicago and we pick him up? I want you to meet him. I said, let's pick him up and, you know, and see how everything went with his son. So we did. And we went, we got to the city, picked him up, led him to the Lord. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started praying in tongues immediately. And we took him to the train station, had a wonderful time with him, blessed him, took him to the train station. And then I got a call from his wife or his girlfriend the next day, and she said she was so excited because he had rededicated his life to the Lord. And she said, you know, we may get back together and have a life together to raise our son. Praise God. But see, God does so many things at one time. It wasn't just about the son that they didn't have to amputate his legs. He was only 4 years old, by the way. It wasn't just that. It was reconciliation with the family. He was reconciled to God, rededicated his life. And, you know, I mean, that's all in God's hands. I have no idea what happened after that. But praise the Lord. See, that's what I mean when I say that when we declare and decree a thing, and when we command something to happen, and we are doing it in the authority of Jesus Christ, when we know that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above this, we're far above the sickness. It's under our feet. It's defeated. We just have to see it that way. And we have to have the confidence to say it. We can't be afraid to go in and declare and decree and expect God to manifest his healing, his presence, his power. We got to stir it up. It's inside of him already. Hallelujah. And so as we talk about the believer's authority, it's our dominion. It's the power. You know, there's a dunamis power that when Jesus was raised from the dead, there's a power that was within that whole thing. I'm going to read this to you. I thought this was really cool. It says, this was in Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. And, you know, if you get a chance, read Ephesians. I like to read Ephesians and declare it over my family, declare it over myself, declare it over my husband, because I want the eyes of my understanding to be open. I don't want to walk through this life blindly and not really have an understanding of the power that's within us. God has given us so much power and authority, and he wants this church to be an end-time church, a triumphant church, a glorious church. He wants us all to know who we are in him and start operating like we know who we are in him. You know, not just to come to church, but to be the church, to be the ones that are raising the dead. Hallelujah. One time, Donna, everybody knows my best friend Donna, her daughter was getting married out in Maryland. And so I went to talk to see her, and I said, she was still living in Maryland, but she had a sister who lived in Illinois, and I lived in Illinois. And I said to her, we were on our way out there, and she said, you know, I feel really bad because we're having this big party and this big wedding and everything. And she said, and my sister is dying in the hospital. And I said, what do you mean she's dying in the hospital? Now, I've known her sister since her sister was little, because Donna and I have been best friends for 65 years, which was just a few years ago. Praise God. But I said, do you want me to go pray for her before I come out? And she said, well, yeah, if you would. Now, her sister had a gastric bypass surgery done, and she did not tell the surgeon that she had asthma problems. And so when she never came out of the anesthesia, and they said that if anything could go wrong in the surgery, it went wrong, and that if she ever recovered, that she would be a vegetable. And so that was her diagnosis. And that was what was spoken in the room over her all day long. That's what she heard. That's what she heard from the doctors, the nurses, everybody that came in. And so I got there, and I took authority over all the words and all the diagnosis that had been spoken, because I knew that those were killers. Those words were going to kill her. What she needed was to have that room washed out of those words of defeat, of death. Wash that room out. Wash her ear gates out. Wash that picture out, because I know I've talked to people that have been in comas, and they say, I hear everything. They hear everything. And we had to get rid of that. I had to go and wash that with the water of the Word of God. I had to fill that room with the Word of God. I had to wash it with the blood of Jesus. I had to hold the blood of Jesus up against those diagnoses and say, no, that's a lie from the pit of hell. She will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. She is an overcomer, and she will overcome this. So I sat and I started declaring the Word of God over her. And then I read Psalm 91. And as I was, and I led her to the Lord. I love to lead people to the Lord when they're in comas, because they can't, you know, they can't say anything. And so it gives them a little bit of time to meditate on it. Praise the Lord. And so as I was reading the scripture to her, she moved her little finger. And I said, I know you heard me. So I left, went home, got ready. We left to go to Maryland. And by the time I got to Maryland, which was a couple days later, Donna said, my sister was sitting up in bed. She's awake. I don't know if you said she was eating, but she was awake. She came out of the coma. No brain damage. Her brain was perfect. She came out of the coma. She went to rehab. And with just a few months, she was doing everything that she had done before. She had to learn how to walk. She had to learn how to talk. There were a lot of things that she had to learn. But praise God, she did. And she was, you would not even know that anything ever happened to her. See, God does a complete work. He takes care of it from the very first thing until the very end. And that's how he operates. But he said that's how we're supposed to operate. We're supposed to go with that confidence, knowing that I'm representing him. And if I say this, he's going to do it, if I say his word. But you know what? We have to believe that. We have to believe that he's given us that. You know, we can read about it, but until that comes real to us, we don't have that confidence. We go in and we'll say, oh, well, can you come with me and pray for them? But he said, no, you pray for them. You've got the same words that I do. You have the same authority. That's the cool thing about being seated in heavenly places. God is no respecter of persons, and what he does through me, he'll do through any of you, anybody. All we have to do is open our mouths and give God the glory. We have to say, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our authority. That's how we're operating. That's how we're doing these things. And praise God, you know, when we do that, then we see a manifestation. And if people want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, because sometimes that's where they are. They've heard a lot of stuff, but they said, you know, I want to see something. Most of the world does not live like we do by faith. Most of this world lives by what they can see, touch, hear, and feel. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. That's what they say. I'll believe it when I see it. No, I'll see it and then I'll believe it. I'll see it and know that it's going to happen. I see it. I see it. As soon as I speak it, I see it. Even though the other person may not. You know, our circumstances are not our position. Our circumstances are temporary. Our position is where we're seated. Are we trying to accomplish these things seated at the same level as the devil? Walking along, seeking who he can kill or destroy? Are we operating on that same level? Or are we going to take our stand and we're going to walk and operate in the heavenly realm? Are we going to start looking at things from a different perspective? You know, my mother used to always say to me, Barbara Ann, you look at everything through rose-colored glasses. Like that was a bad thing. I didn't even know what it meant. She told me that since I was a little girl. And one day the Lord said, do you know what those glasses are? He said, that's the blood of my son. He said, you're looking at everything through the blood. You look at the finished work of what God is doing. You look at the resurrected life of what God is doing. That's what we need to do. We need to see people in the future. We need to see where God's taking them. We need to encourage them to get them to that point where the gifts and the callings that are within them, that we help to draw those things out of them so that they can accomplish all that God wants to do through them. And so we've got to start looking at things from a different perspective. I'm starting to look at things from the resurrected power of God, that Jesus was resurrected. So this was what I started reading to you. Hallelujah. It says in verse, this is Ephesians 1. It says, notice especially in the 19th verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Who believe? His exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Are we believers, or do we just say we are? You know, one time the Lord said to me, do you trust me, or do you just say you trust me? Because we say things all the time, but do we really mean it? And I think at that time I wasn't really trusting him about something. And he said, do you trust me, or do you just say? I said, well, of course I trust you, Lord. And he said, well, then why won't you trust me to work through your husband? I'm like, well, because he doesn't hear your voice, and I do. And I don't want to tell you exactly what he did. He said, I spoke through a donkey, didn't I? Hallelujah. No offense, I didn't mean you were like a donkey, but hallelujah. He does. He'll speak to us through other things. We don't have to hear a direct word from him. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through a song. He speaks to us and gives us visions and dreams or a word from the Lord. We have to have our eyes tuned or ears tuned to what he's saying. And then know that we have that discernment. Is this from God? Or is this from just because somebody liked me and they wanted to say something nice? Or was this a God thing? Did he really say that to me? Hallelujah. So it says, according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, there was such an overwhelming display of God's power in raising Jesus from the dead that this actually was the mightiest work of God ever recorded. The dunamis power that raised Christ from the dead was the greatest work of God that was ever recorded. Isn't that awesome? And so he says that same power that raised Christ from the dead, guess what, is in us. We've got that power. We have that power inside of us. We just have to tap into it. We just have to know that we have that. And then in Colossians 2:15, it said, and having spoiled the principalities and powers, he, Christ, made an open show of them, triumphing over them. And so he made an open show. He defeated Satan, and he made an open show. He walked him out among everyone in heaven and hell, and they all looked, and they saw he is a defeated foe, and he is under our feet. He is the one that I can trample on. You know, it says you can trample on serpents and scorpions. Well, that means the demons, the demonic powers. It means sickness, disease. It means all the things, relationships. Anything that is not of God is of the devil. And guess what? He said he's given you the authority to trample on them, to destroy them. Hallelujah. So hallelujah, praise God. Oh, I got to hurry up. So praise the Lord. Do you know that I never knew that we had to have a certain time? And when he told me the other day, he said, you know, you can't go over an hour. I'm like, oh my gosh, over an hour. Okay, right. So there was one thing that I did want to say, and that's about balance. The things that I'm talking about tonight, about our authority, is important. But we still want to make sure that we don't get out of balance and we don't get too crazy with the authority thing and we forget about everything else, because it all works together. And I love our Charis Bible classes. And if you're not going to those classes, you can start at any time, because the material is so rich. And Richard and Brenda really make a point of saying, make sure that you put everything in balance. You don't go too far to the right or too far to the left. And that's what, if you have an opportunity, I think you all should go to that class, because I go to both of them, and I love them, and I'm going to take them again as soon as I... We just keep learning new and new things all the time. And things that you think you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I never saw it that way. Praise God. So I would encourage people to go to that. And let's see, I know I was supposed to say some other things, but that's okay. What I want to say is that we have the authority, that God has given us the authority. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We're seated right next to the Father. And I want us all to start looking at things from his perspective and just say, you know what, devil, no. You said what, that I was diagnosed with diabetes? No, I curse that diabetes. Diabetes, you die in Jesus' name. You get off me now. You can't have me in Jesus' name. You know what, I'm getting really good at fighting. Now, I can get loud. And I can yell. You know, we started yelling at the rice. Anybody who's in Pastor Pam's class, she had a thing that if you yell at the rice and you curse this one thing of rice, that it's going to get dark. And if you praise the other thing of rice, it's going to be good. Well, both of ours are good. It hasn't really worked yet, because we haven't really cursed the bad one. We couldn't think of anything bad to say. We would say, oh, you're stupid, rice. Or, you know, something, we haven't really gotten into that part of it yet. And then we thought, well, do we leave the lid on? We do take the lid off. But I said to Donna one day, I said, you know, this is how we can learn to yell at the devil. We can start yelling at that rice and get loud. Hallelujah. So we do. We've got to start talking to the devil and not tolerate things, not be so passive. And just say, you know what, I woke up this morning, my neck was really stiff, it really hurt me. And we're saying, but I'm not going to say a word, I'm not going to say anything, because I don't want the devil to hear me say it, I don't want to give him any glory. But how about saying this? How about saying, in the name of Jesus, I command my neck to start functioning normally. I command the tendons, the ligaments, the nerves to line up with the word of God. I command my chemical and electrical frequencies to start working perfectly. I command this weakness to go. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Talk to your body. Tell it what to do. Talk to your finances. Tell them what to do. Start talking to those things. Start cursing the things and declaring and decreeing that the devil has no authority. He cannot hinder you in any way. Amen? So praise God. Well, hallelujah. I did it in an hour, and I'm very excited. So I want to pray for Pastor Pam. And Father God, your word says that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. And this was your gospel, Lord. And we're going to take authority over all the damage that's been done in her knees. And Lord, we know, we saw in the spirit realm that you delivered two brand new kneecaps to her. Whatever the hindrances have been to her receiving the full manifestation of her healing, we're going to take authority over tonight. So let's do this in agreement. Father God, right now I take authority over Pastor Pam Washburn. Hallelujah. I declare and decree that those knees, those brand new kneecaps, are going onto her knees, all of her ligaments, tendons, and all connective tissue. I'm talking to you. I command brand new connective tissue to come into those knees, and I come against the inflammation. I speak to the inflammation, I curse it, and I cast it out in Jesus' name. Any damage that has been done anywhere in her leg or anywhere else in her body, anything that's happened as a result of her not walking correctly, I'm speaking to that. I command you to be restored in the name of Jesus. Now, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that your word never returns void, but always accomplishes what we say it will. We declare and decree that her knees are healed, whole, and complete in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Lord. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. I speak peace to her body right now in the name of Jesus, the peace that passes understanding. I thank you, Lord, that when the surgeons go in there tomorrow, they're going to say, wow, these knees look great. I don't think we're going to have to do a thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thank you for that, Lord. We just give you the praise and the glory. We thank you, Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. Holy Spirit, you work like only you can do. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you all for coming tonight. We had a great time. Amen. Michelle, thank you for the worship. And don't forget, next week we're going to put little bags out for people to bring stuff. They had a good amount of money turned in. We were collecting money for the food pantry for them to buy turkeys for everyone. And Kathy said that they had enough to buy all the turkeys that they needed. And now we're going to give little bags, put them on the cars on Sunday. I think Sunday. And to bring in like the cranberry and the whatever, all the other stuff, the stuffing and all that that goes with it. So we appreciate the support. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Thank you all for coming. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I'd be more than happy to pray for you and come into agreement with anything that you're believing God for. Amen. So love you all. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah.